This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Fine print that could help people with job trouble during pandemic. I'm David Brancaccio. Some 19 million Americans are getting some unemployment aid now. And now the Labor Department is expanding eligibility in ways that you might want to know about. Marketplace's Nova Safo has details.
Yeah, David, this expansion applies to the Pandemic Unemployment Assistance Program, which Congress established last spring in the CARES Act. Now, a lot of people know this program as the one for gig workers, though it does apply to some others. And now eligibility is being expanded to three additional categories of workers. Now, the headline one is people who've turned down work for health and safety reasons. Now, turning down work can get you kicked off state unemployment aid, but the federal government is now stepping in, saying people shouldn't have to pick between staying safe during the pandemic and their livelihoods. And those people now can get federal aid.
And what are the other two categories?
Well, certain school employees on campuses that are closed or partially closed, also workers who are laid off or have lost hours, but the businesses that employed them are still open. Before, a business had to be closed for you to get federal aid. So think waiters at restaurants that are now takeout-only restaurants. Those people will now qualify.
All this starting when?
Well, the Labor Department says the earliest it expects that states will be up and running with these new guidelines is the end of March, because they have to update their systems. But benefits will be retroactive, David, so people could theoretically get large chunks of money if they were previously denied aid, say months ago, and now they are deemed eligible.
Nova Safo. With stimulus checks landing, there's news there was a surge in household income up 10% in January, consumer spending up 2.4% for the month, starter fluid for a recovering economy, perhaps. Interest rates had been rising sharply this week, but the 10-year benchmark fell back below 1.5% this morning, with Wall Street professionals operating in some confusion at a time without parallel. Here's Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FHN Financial.
We have never, even going back to World War II, seen so much spending by the government in such a short period of time. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. It just means it's very hard to put a handle on what the economic impacts are going to be. And then the fear piece is the realization that it is possible the economy could overheat. We could see higher inflation. And from an interest rate perspective, that brings in the additional threat that the Fed might raise interest rates sooner than expected.
FHN's Chris Lowe. Among existing disparities put into sharper focus by this COVID mess, internet access. Now the Federal Communications Commission has come up with money to help low-income households get a decent connection. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab has that.
The emergency subsidy funded by Congress will give low-income households up to $50 a month, and those living on Native American land up to $75. It'll also include a one-time discount on a computer or tablet. Families are eligible if their children are on free or reduced lunch programs, they received Pell Grants, or if they lost jobs or have seen income fall during the pandemic. The program should start in about 2 months, but the FCC has a lot of work to do between now and then to get things going. It'll need to find internet providers and set up a system to approve recipients. The FCC says at least 14.5 million Americans don't have access to broadband internet. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure?
At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
With Democrats ascendant in Washington, could there be some national deregulation of marijuana that could make it easier for cannabis companies to access banking services, among other things? Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
Green Thumb Industries is a roughly $8 billion cannabis retailer and dispensary business with more than 50 stores in 12 states. And yet,
we can't use like large money center banks like JP Morgan and Wells Fargo.
That's Andy Grossman, head of capital markets at Green Thumb. He says Green Thumb stores use smaller community banks. National banks stay away because cannabis is still illegal under federal law. Without the big banks, marijuana businesses can't accept credit or debit cards. Grossman says it's an all-cash business.
Where you have armored vehicles picking up cash and delivering it to a bank to deposit into the banks.
As for leasing space for new stores, it's
hard to find a landlord that doesn't have a mortgage with Wells Fargo, and Wells Fargo says, not in my building.
Congress is expected to consider a bill that would change all this by legalizing marijuana nationally. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and two other Senate Democrats issued a statement at the beginning of this month saying they're committed to what they called comprehensive cannabis reform legislation. Maritza Perez, a lobbyist for the nonprofit Drug Policy Alliance, is pushing hard for complete legalization.
That's the bill that we're going to be throwing our weight behind. But given that it's very comprehensive and bold, we certainly have our work cut out for us.
That's because Democrats would need the support of 10 Republicans to advance the bill in the Senate. Analyst Edwin Groshans, a senior vice president at Height Capital Markets, puts the odds of a sweeping legalization bill becoming law at less than 33%. He thinks Congress will go for more piecemeal legislation, like a bill that would bar federal regulators from penalizing banks serving marijuana businesses in states where cannabis is legal.
So if you're operating in Colorado or Florida where it's legal, you know what? Bank America, if they chose to, could serve you.
Groshans puts the odds of that bill, known as the Safe Banking Act, at 60 to 65%. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And is it wrong to say a retail space was meaningful to you? When a big box electronics store in nine states called Fry's went belly up suddenly this week, many folks felt a little wistful. Before the buzzword in retail was all about providing experiences, there was Fry's. The one I used to take my kids to in Burbank, California, had a huge alien flying saucer crashed into the exterior. Emily Pinero of Phoenix turned to Fry's early in the pandemic.
It's very, like, it's just magical when you walk in because you're transported.
And I've only ever been to one. I went to the one that's Aztec themed.
I want to hear from you. What feature of the American landscape has disappeared in the last 10 years that was especially meaningful to you? And why? We'll feature some on the air. Here's the email, morningreport@marketplace.org. You can tweet at me, @DavidBrancaccio, B-R-A-N, I don't know, something like that. Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.